8:58. Welcome back to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. We continue now with the tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf. Yesterday we discussed verse 56, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدُعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do not cause corruption in the earth after its reformation, and call on him with fear and expectation. Surely the mercy of Allah is near those who do good. And I explained yesterday that in this verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is reminding us that we need to give consideration to the rights of others, to the rights of the environment, to the rights of the atmosphere, after we give consideration to the rights of the Creator, which has been spoken of in previous verses. And when things are running smoothly and normally, we should not interfere, and we should not create corruption, and we should not create any kind of disturbance. We also discussed yesterday that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about, the running of this universe and not spreading anarchy in the lands after the lands have been reformed, it refers to two different things, the external and internal reformation of the earth. The external reformation of the earth, as I explained yesterday, means that Allah lets the plants grow. Don't interfere, don't destroy, don't harm the atmosphere. It's there for everyone to benefit from. The system of Allah is in place. Do not interfere with it. Yes, at times when man has to do what man has to do in terms of planting and in terms of sacrificing animals for food, etc. That's understood. That's part of the system. But do not go and interfere with the system. And do not go and harm the system in any way. That's the external reformation of the earth. And internal reformation, Allah has put in place a system of hidayat and guidance by sending the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, by mentioning the key points in the books that have been revealed over a period of time. And therefore, do not interfere with that system as well. Align yourself with that system. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, and call on him with fear and expectation. And the word call here is actually in reference to worship, according to Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah, as we explained yesterday, meaning worship Allah in a state where you are between hope and fear. Limanu bain al-khawfi wal-rajam. Hopeful of reward, fearful of rejection and punishment. And that's how you keep a balance in your life, and that's how you keep yourself motivated. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala concludes verse 56 by saying, Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. Surely the mercy of Allah is near to those who do good. When you do good, you draw the mercy of Allah. When you do good, you draw the special mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we concluded yesterday by saying that these two verses, 55 and 56, teach us about five things that are integral and imperative when it comes to dua. Do not transgress the limits. Dua should be silent. One should have the fear that perchance it may not be accepted. One should have hope that inshallah it will be accepted. One must abstain from sins, because this then distances you from the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and results in one's, to the likelihood of one's dua not being accepted. And we spoke about the hadith, about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about that man who's got the dust and he's disheveling, he's got all the outer signs of a person whose duas will be accepted by Allah, but his food is from haram and his clothing is from haram and he's nourished by haram and his dua is not accepted. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reminds us, Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsineen. Undoubtedly the mercy of your Rabb is close to those who do good. Meaning all types of good, whether it's good in the form of charity, good in the form of character, do good. It'll increase the chances of your dua being accepted, and it'll bring you closer to the special mercies of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now we move on, verses 57 and 58 we are going to discuss today, inshallah. We're going to begin the discussion, and it's the last two verses of this rukum. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَدِهِ. It is he who sends winds bearing glad tidings prior to the rains. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءَ فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. When the winds have brought heavy clouds, we drive the clouds to a dead land. We then send down rain from that cloud. We then bring forth every type of fruit. كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. In like manner, we shall bring forth the dead so that you may ponder. In the next verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. The land that is good, its vegetation comes forth with the permission of its sustainer. وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. As for the one that is bad, nothing but worthless vegetation comes forth. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَشْكُرُونَ. Thus do we expound our verses diversely to people who are grateful. Now, the scholars have written the previous verses, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spoke about establishing himself on the throne. And then also, meaning Allah is in full control, Allah has full authority. Then in the previous verses, reference was made to divine dispositions in the form of celestial bodies. The sun, the moon, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made mention of that. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومَ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِ The sun, the moon, the stars, they are all subjugated to the commands of Allah. In between, appropriate advice was given to man. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now mentions some of the dispositions in earthly and celestial bodies so that man may realize that sovereignty over the heavens, the earth, and the area between the heavens and earth belongs only to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about how he sends the winds before the rains. You know, from next week we'll be into spring officially, but it looks like we've skipped spring in terms of the weather pattern. We've gone from winter straight into summer, but no one's complaining, although yesterday someone told me that we're in for two colder days. Next week it won't be as warm, but 19 degrees is what they're saying, which is not very cold. Anyway, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about how he sends the winds before the rains, and it's like a glad tiding. The winds tell you that the rains are coming. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ Then Allah carries the heavy clouds and he leads it to a dead piece of ground and then showers rains upon it. And that dead piece of ground comes alive. You can extract all kinds of fruit from it. And Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ That we will resurrect the dead so that you may take heed in a similar manner. In other words, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, look, the rain falls on the mountains and it falls on level ground as well. It falls on dead land, which is considered to be infertile, and all of a sudden, it brings forth crops and it brings forth fruits. So if Allah can give life to land which is perceived to be dead, why can't Allah give life to a person who has passed away and bring him back to life? Allah is giving a parable, an example to those who don't believe in resurrection. If Allah can bring life from a dead piece of land in the form of crops, why can Allah give life to a dead body once again? Also, yes, scholars write that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is drawing a comparison between a believer and a non-believer. A believer is like a fertile piece of land where when the rain falls, good vegetation comes forth. An unbeliever is like a land which is not so fertile. When the rain falls, you know, a very bad quality vegetation comes forth. So people, you know, align themselves with hidayat and guidance that comes from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to varying degrees. The more you comply, the greater the quality of the output from you. The more fertile the land, the greater the quality of the crops. The less fertile the land, the poorer the quality of the crops. And that's the kind of example that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the contrast which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is drawing. So first Allah is saying, if I can give life to dead land, infertile land can produce crops, then obviously I can resurrect people when they are dead. And then Allah is drawing that comparison, that contrast between those whose hearts are alive and those whose hearts are dead. And how those whose hearts are alive will benefit more from the rains of hidayat and guidance as compared to those whose hearts are dead. And also on the point of resurrection, the scholars of Tafsir have written that on the day of judgment, when everyone will be dead now, even including the angel of death, there will be a rain that will be, first the trumpet will be sounded, and then Allah will shower a light drizzle. Allah will shower a light drizzle, after which the corpses of the dead will surface from the ground. So it will be that rain that will actually bring the dead back to life. And then the trumpet will be sounded for the second time and people will stand up. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is doing two things in this verse according to Mufassirin. The one is drawing the comparison between how rain alivens the earth and resurrection after death, and also drawing the comparison between a heart that is alive, the heart of a believer, and the heart that is dead, which is the heart of an unbeliever. There's more detail to this. Very interesting how the Mufassirin have elaborated on this, the different contrasts and comparisons which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala draws here, and the lessons we can learn from it, and the different pearls of wisdom that we can derive from it. We will continue the discussion on Monday, inshallah. It's now 19 minutes to 8.